find ourselves deep in the forests of Mortel. This is the domain of Lorianne, the hag. Very little is known of her. She exists mostly as a legend. Many people are not sure she is even real, or if she is a creation to scare people away from the Elven Lands. But Kiernan knows all too well that this place is real. He's 16 years old, and he is going through a very bad time. Another blow lands on his midsection, and he releases a small whimper. For nearly an hour, he managed to quell his cries, but he no longer possesses the willpower. His eyes sting with the blood in them. He feels pain searing through his body. Christe's voice above him. You will not disobey again. Do you understand? Kiernan hears his wolf, Shadow Dancer, whine a few feet away as he struggles to focus his mind. Now, boy, tell me again about this wolf. Why is this animal so important to you?
You wouldn't understand.
I asked you a direct question.
Yes.
And you answered with a question. Do you wish more violence because I can give it to you?
No.
Part of Dance of Our training is the removal of weakness and attachment. Please explain this attachment you have with this animal.
She grounds me. Is that so wrong?
More questions, boy.
I told you you wouldn't understand.
I understand. I understand quite well, actually. Let me tell you a story about my boyhood. My mother was a stern mistress. She did not let me play with the other children. She did not let me bond with my sisters. My path was as ours, all of ours is, under Lorien's law. So I found a friend, a mouse, a tiny mouse. I would speak to the mouse. I would feed it crumbs, and I would tell it all of my fears and hopes and dreams. And one day, that mouse, my best friend, my confidant, it simply wasn't there. It left. It went and did what a mouse does. Burrowed under someone else's house and became a nuisance that needed to be destroyed. And I realized in that moment that animal was a weakness. That it took all of my little dreams and fears and thoughts and ran off and treated them like nothing. Because they were. You see that animal there? The three Dansabar soldiers, keeping it penned in as she nips and bites and tries to escape their grasp. You see what she is doing? Is she coming to your defense? Is she thinking about your life, your safety? No. She's simply trying to defend herself because she is an animal, and that is what animals do. That is their function. What is your function, Kiernan?
Be a soldier.
I hear you say the words, but I do not believe you. I think we need to offer some motivation to this young soldier. What do you say? And the Dansabar soldiers proceed to grab the wolf. They pull Shadow Dancer up. She struggles underneath them, but between the three of them, she is not be able to match their strength.
Please let her go. I will do anything you wish.
I wish you to show your loyalty. I wish you to watch. And he turns to one of the soldiers who produces a small blade and starts cutting into the wolf. Small nicks at first and then larger as she growls. and then whimpers. In an instant, Kiernan breaks free from Christe's bond and runs over, knocking one of the soldiers to the ground. Well, some fight in you yet. Unfortunately, your motivations are incorrect. Christe walks over to the wolf, puts his hands down on the back of her neck, pulls her up by the scruff, and pulls out a knife, and in an instant slices her.
Let her go.
The Danciba soldiers grab you and pull you up. Are you prepared to do what is right? Are you prepared to make the sacrifice?
Yes.
And then Triste grabs you by the shoulders and pulls your face right to his.
I still don't believe you.
He hurls you to the ground. As you go to get up, you see Christe's boot shadow over your face, and he holds your head down with his foot. He turns to the other soldiers. Kill it! He says that with as much passion as someone asking for salt at the dinner table. And as you watch, Kiernan, the soldiers run their swords through the wolf's body again and again until she is silent. Drag the boy. And as Kiernan is pulled away, he reaches out for Shadow Dancer's prone form, sending off a whispered apology and a silent farewell. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are the Architects of Entropy, and welcome to episode 7 in our continuing series, The Melshar 3. We'll come up with a better name, I'm sure. For right now, The Melshar 3. And golly, last we left you, we had a major reveal. MJ, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Talk about as much or as little as you want to. Or if you want to be like, I don't want to talk about it.
Knowing me, I won't say much. We figured out that Kiernan is a changeling.
And changelings are a thing we've never talked about when we talked about the world of Iamora. And I think we did that deliberately.
I think we did too, yeah.
Because not many people know about them. They come from a place that is very mysterious. And their purposes are also very mysterious, as people who can just change shape. Yes, Kiernan is a changeling. They can now say he's a changeling ranger. And when I thought about this scene, I didn't think that you'd have a Zika mouse in your pocket.
Exactly. That's the only reason why I was hesitant. I'm like,
oh. I know. You would have been completely like, okay, let's talk.
You could like have made a perception roll to notice whether or not I climbed up your leg. Maybe you don't know I'm there.
That's true.
Yeah, I will assume at this point you probably know. Because
I'm assuming, yeah.
Your roll
to
get up his
too.
Leg wasn't great.
Yeah.
It's whether or not this changeling knows. So.
And maybe Zeke, she's in a pocket. Maybe she doesn't exactly know what's happening either.
Rick, a lot of stuff happened to you last game too. You want to talk about how you're feeling as Razor right now? You got a bit of a dressing down?
Yeah, Umar really hasn't changed that much, except he's more ambitious than when we were growing up together. And, not exactly surprised that he's displeased with me for ruining his plans by actually doing something as opposed to just politically tinkering around until something might eventually happen. Razor really didn't care about dealing with the flus. And finding that he had a kindred spirit and someone that might want to see Umar taken down a step or two with Grenna, he doesn't feel quite so alone, at least in the Forge. Yeah. And to be fair, as far as Razor's concerned, Umar probably brought up a couple good points. I mean, he is lawful good. So him scaling the wall and going in there is kind of a little bit against his nature. But his compelling thing is to always aid the weak and downtrodden.
We'll pick up right where we left off. Also, you guys have presumably a meeting around noon in Bale Melshar to talk about what happened to Drin. Whether or not that happens, who knows? We'll pick back up in the parlor of the lady.
Well, I've shown you mine. Show me yours.
Is this the time or place for this?
I don't see anyone else around.
Who are you?
My name is Tahar Valon. Your name is Kiernan Phelan.
I don't use that name anymore.
It's still your name. It was a name your mother gave you.
I'm Kiernan Locke now.
Yes, but you only changed the surname. You kept the name that your mother gave you at birth. That's telling.
I do shift into a different form. I have very pale skin, purple silver eyes. My hair is still long and black, but it's wavier and it seems to almost undulate, and I am willowy thin.
Well, that's better.
Are you content now?
I am neither content nor ill at ease. I am just me. I exist in the state of function. My function was to find you and was to find out why you came to Malshar. Why did you come to Malshar?
Did my mother send you?
Answer my question and I'll answer yours.
It was a feeling. I know you probably won't understand this at all, being what you are and where you're from, but a sense of duty, perhaps, or fate?
There you say again. Destiny, fate, you use these words. You know. Destiny is weaved by the powerful. The destiny you follow is that which Lorian has weaved for you, as we all do. You are a man. Your function is limited. You are a soldier. You are Dan Sabah, trained. And yet here you are.
Yes, I may have been trained, but I was never one of them. She should have known that. And I chose to make my own destiny.
So you chose to come here? Or
yes.
You felt a pull. You're giving some mixed signals.
I chose to leave home, for lack of a better word, to be on my own. And then, yes, I sensed something. But I chose to come here. I could have ignored it. I could have run in the opposite direction, but I didn't.
What is your mission?
I don't know.
You don't know, or you won't tell?
I don't play these games. You can torture me if you want, but you're not going to find anything out.
Torture. That is a low word. You would say that, wouldn't you? It's something that a man would say. We do not torture. We guide. We manipulate.
Yes, it's an art form for you, isn't it?
It is our function. Things are happening here in this city. Things that she has planned.
What things?
Do you think I even know? It doesn't matter. If she planned them, then they are to pass. We are her creation. We exist at her whim. Something is happening. Something she needs us all to be ready for. And she can't have ambitious generals poking into things they shouldn't be. I know he sent you. If you don't know he sent you, it may be. Criste is very tricky. He
yes.
tricked your mother once, more than you'll ever know. She has a soft spot for him, she always has, but she's never trusted him. You are here at his behest, whether you know it or not. And whatever you're heading towards, I have to stop it.
Then I suppose we're aligned in some way.
Perhaps. She told me to find you, your mother, if you must know. She did not tell me specifically what to do, but by my trappings, you should be aware of what my function is. Now that you're looking at it, she is definitely wearing the trappings of an assassin.
Mm.
There are vials on her person that you didn't notice originally. She's a killer. So your mother hired an assassin to find you.
That's lovely. Well, I suppose we have no choice then. I mean, that's what you think, right? Follow orders?
This just means the chase continues. I am going to leave unless you want to try and stop me.
No.
Good.
But I'll be waiting.
I didn't want to have to squeeze the little mouse in your pocket to death.
He won't touch her.
Well, I guess I'll crawl out of the pocket and resume my normal shape then, if everybody knows.
That is insignificant.
How do you know these things? What I am? What he is? Just from a glance?
Quite honestly, I didn't know. Training tells me to never accept anything at face value. You could have just been a mouse. You ran out of the house. And if you had kept running, I would have never thought otherwise, but you didn't. You jumped up and climbed in his pocket. That is not normal mouse behavior. So now I know what you are because you have shown me.
You're a sharp
one. Thank
you,
Isa. Don't think that your strings aren't being pulled by a higher being as well. Why do you think the progenitor came here? You know what? That doesn't matter. Just food for thought, I suppose. I spend too much time trying to figure out why occasionally, and I have to remember. Function. Function, that's all.
And you're the one who killed Dervin Fane?
Dervin Fane is the one who killed Dervin Fane. I suppose I enjoyed playing him. The cavalier bumbler. A man with more style than sense. It was all right. He was going to die in a gutter no matter what. I just got him there a little bit quicker. He tested me. He failed. This whore, she failed too. If you want to report me to the guard, their bodies are upstairs in the wardrobe. They won't find me.
That seems pretty amateur for an assassin to keep the bodies in their place of business, their residence.
I must say, my only weakness is I enjoy this cat and mouse thing a little bit more than I should. I was tiring of this part of it, so I just wanted to get it all out there. You seem to be just ambling into things, but now I know. Whatever direction you've been given, you are unaware of it. So I'll just sit back and watch and wait till I need to intervene. I'm going to leave now, unless you want to stop me.
No, I think we should leave as well.
Yes, you should leave before the fire.
The fire?
Oh, there I go again, giving away things.
Things I'd rather not hear, to be perfectly honest. Let's be gone, Kiernan.
Yes.
So you leave, and as you walk out, a lantern turns over, and the room starts to set on fire.
Are there people in here, other people?
You don't know. Probably not in this building. I mean, this is it's a stone building, so the fire will likely be contained to this apartment. If you want to stay here and put it out, you can. At the very least, it's just kind of covering her getting out of there. So if you'd like to put the fire out, I will say you're able to put the fire out as it starts.
I probably would want to, if that's all right with Zika.
Certainly.
Okay. You spend a few minutes putting out the fire. It's a small fire, and you're second level, so I think you can handle it.
Okay.
Obviously, Tahara's gone. And it is getting about noon.
We should leave.
Hi. To Belmalshar.
I'm sorry. I don't wish to talk much more about this, but I do want you to know that I'm sorry.
I can't help feeling I don't want to know much more than I do know. I know already more than I asked. If it's necessary, we can talk about it at a future time.
Of course. But for now, just between us?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. So you know that Razor was at the temple. So let's go back to Razor. And I'll let you know when they arrive. I'm assuming you're going to the temple to get in.
Yes.
Okay.
If we think that he's coming along.
Well, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have to if you don't want.
Just because we split before we discussed that.
No, that was the reason why I thought you'd go. Because they were like, well, maybe you want to bring your friends.
Sure, so, yeah.
in the interest of
seems like something we do together.
Of not continuously leaving Rick.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least give him the opportunity to refuse.
Yeah. So Razor, you're at the temple. You finished up with a flu, and Grenna, I'm going to start working on some paperwork. We'll see about getting you that meeting.
That would be wonderful.
Oh, God, I almost forgot. I got a little bit more insight on that contagion, and I think I know how it works. Oh, or before you do anything else, she puts her hand on your shoulder where the wound is.
Okay.
And white light comes out of her hand, and the wound slowly disappears as she casts restoration on you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think if it works the way I think it does, it's an insidious, nasty little thing, and I don't think I've ever encountered it before, but it's a necrotizing disease, but it functions on a time release. It releases its necromantic energy upon death.
Mm.
What it does is it will just sit there in your system, dormant, until you die of any means. And then once you die, it takes hold all at once, and you are raised. You cannot be affected by any kind of resurrection magic.
Mm.
So it's the kind of thing where most people, if they were to get it, and once they felt fine, a scar is a scar.
Right.
Most regular people rarely even benefit from magical healing. Most people can't afford it. Kind of a shame. The city is full of people who, if they had this, would probably just ignore it. I mean, it's easily taken care of with some fairly sturdy magic, but beyond that, the treatment would be very, let's put it this way, you'd have to cut it out. Depending on where it is, that could be a very dicey proposition.
So what we're saying is that there could be more people here that did not die from it and are still infected.
Yes. I plan on spending the rest of the day in Hogsbane Alley, really giving him a thorough search. As far as Ymir is concerned, he'll let the place just be opened again. I don't think that's a good idea just yet. I need to investigate each and every person over there if I can. I mean, I can attest to you and your friends. I gave the other Isog a very good look over when I was treating her. She certainly doesn't have it. Well, I mean, if she did, she wouldn't, because I cast the same spell on her that I just did to you to help with her leg.
I see.
So she wouldn't, but I've tried to tell Ymir, but I'm afraid he doesn't want to listen.
Well, if you need assistance in checking people over, I can help perhaps aid you in the search, even if I can't perform the magic.
I would appreciate that. Yes, keep your eyes and ears open. I hope we can fix things, because I never thought I'd wind up here, but this city could be a great force for good if it doesn't fall apart and eat itself.
Even the most damaged tool can be repaired.
I think you know that better than anyone, Razor.
That is what I've been told.
Is it okay if I call you that?
Oh, I don't mind. It is of no matter anymore.
Don't feel offended, but I prefer Ordrum.
That is acceptable as well. I would not want to cause you any discomfort. Both are equally acceptable to me. However you wish to call me.
I will call you Ordrum, and you can call me Grenna.
Thank you, Grenna.
Try not to get into too much trouble if you can avoid it.
I don't know. I seem to have a certain knack for trouble. I will try.
Well, either way, I keep Ymir's book, so it makes sense for you to come to me first.
Thank you.
Thank you. I finally feel like I have an ally in this band. And then she turns around and she leaves.
All right.
And at that point, coming into the temple are Kiernan and Zika.
Razor.
Greetings. How are you?
Doing all right. How's that little scratch you had?
Yes.
It's been taken care of, although he is covered in... He's filthy. Yeah, suit. That's the word I was looking for.
Regular three-piece suit. That was awful stuff.
It seems Ymir was not quite pleased with me. I should have followed the chain of command, I suppose, and reported to him what I was doing instead of gone like a thief in the night. But it is well. I have
done your penance?
Indeed.
I'm sorry things did not go well for you.
Things are going well enough. Lunch?
Do you need to wash up first?
Yeah, probably.
I might let you at the table in Malmarshire that way.
Yes, well, I suppose I will have to return to the inn then and wash up, and then I shall meet you?
Oh, yeah. We're actually going to meet my friends that you've met. There was another friend I was coming here to meet named Drin, and gone missing as well. Seems to be an epidemic around here. And we're going to speak with my friends to do a bit of investigating and see if we can track down where the wayward lad has gone. Are you interested in joining for that?
Yes, if I can be of assistance, I would be more than happy.
Okay, so you, Razor, you get cleaned up, and you all meet in Bale Melshar. It is a lovely day here in Bale Melshar. Did we even ever say what season this was in? I'm awful. I don't know if we've ever really declared what season.
Let's call it late summer for no reason.
All right, I'm going to call it late summer, and then... you know.
And it's right, on the ocean where it's really nice.
Yeah, season, yeah, yeah.
It's like San Diego; it doesn't change much.
I mean, yeah. Go. Once again, it's just episode 7, and we've been in the same scene for like 4 days. But a lot of stuff has happened in these 4 days, and it will continue. We should be nearing a point where we'll compress some time, but you know, we got to get to the heart of the shit that's going on.
Not that there's a heart of shit to get to or anything.
My favorite Blondie song.
I was going to say my favorite Joseph Conrad novel.
Oh, yes, me too. Anyway, you guys get to Bale Melshar. It is a lovely late sprit. I said it again. Late summer day. Breeze flows through the trees. Esog are skittering this way and that, up trees, coming up from underground. And you meet Kuna and Segi, and they are waiting with a characteristically huge lunch in Esog fashion. Please, have a seat. Let's get a lion before we have to go in and search for that fool Drin.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
So you guys, once again, have a wonderful lunch. And in that time, Segi will impart some wisdom to you. So I did some digging around the area, figuratively and maybe literally, and I ran into a couple of people. As far as I know, the last few Esog that saw Drin wandering about, Tallow Sweet Petal is a friend of his. Well, I think maybe she wanted to be more than a little friend of his, but I feel that Drin had eyes for someone else.
Oh, did he know?
Well, yes, someone who... I think was probably a little bit more focused on her own adventures than to notice some fool. Oh gosh, Zika, I hate being the one to tell you this, but Drin, he had a bit of a crush on you.
Oh, did he know?
Well, he would never say. You were always very close friends. And he didn't ever want to, never wanted to damage that, but I think he held a torch for you.
Oh, well. You certainly can't blame me for not noticing. We were in a war not but 6 months ago.
Well, that's the thing. There were so many other things going on that you know, he didn't think there'd be time for something like that. And you do seem to remember that, you know, I mean, he hung around you a lot.
Yeah, but the pieces are probably coming together as I reflect on it.
And you remember him saying he was the first of the three who said they were going to Malshar, and he was very excited about coming here. Who knows, you might have even been responsible for putting the idea in your head initially. It certainly did for Segi and Huna.
Mm-hmm, sure.
He went here a little bit before you and got himself kind of set up in Bale Melshar. But, you know, he immediately got caught up in all the, you know, all the intrigue and big people problems and what the Esog's place was in it. As you can tell, we've been here for a short time and already there's several great conspiracies that you found out about in the course of a few days, so...
Lots can be a to little... get caught up on.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, Tallow said the last place she saw him was a warren right on the edge of Bale Melshar. It's one of the older ones, one that's been here for a long, long time, but mostly largely abandoned, to be honest with you. But he seemed to think that there was one of these sinkholes down there, but no one else remembers seeing him since, so I thought maybe that would be a good place to start.
Sounds grand.
Oh, it would be just like the fool to get himself stuck in a hole. I mean, what kind of idiot would get stuck in a hole like that? And then Huna just kind of stops.
Oh, dear.
So, I hate to do this, but I just don't think I can go down underground again today.
Oh?
I mean, not that I'm afraid of being underground. I mean, we spend half of our lives underground, but I think I want to spend some time up in the trees. Just kind of get my bearings again.
Certainly your prerogative to accompany us down or not.
And if you want to give me a insight check, you
can. Sure. That is 12.
You're sure there's more to that, and I don't think you even really need to make a roll to know that there's, you know, maybe had something to do with the zombies.
Right, but certainly no idea what, but there's more.
But she was pretty good with that magic stone.
Yeah, good trick.
No, it's fine. We have, I think it's my turn to do the adventuring today. I'm feeling up for it, and, well, I've learned a whole lot more tricks since the last time you saw me, Zika.
This is Seiki talking?
This is Seiki, yes, sorry. Okay. Yes.
And it'd be good to stretch that leg, of course.
Yes, it's feeling a lot better. That dwarf lass, she really has a healing hand.
Absolutely, and certainly broken leg won't keep the good Esau down for long.
Oh, certainly not. We got three more.
Exactly.
Oh, and Seiki is a sorcerer.
Oh, nice.
She is a wild-blooded sorcerer. You know, she had magic talent, a lot of fae do.
Right.
She was definitely not afraid to explore it. And wild magic, as you know, can be unpredictable. Things can happen. But, you know, the Esau never seem to let it bother them. It almost always works out for the best. Well, I don't fill up too much. We have a little bit of a hike in front of us.
Indeed.
Well, let's get to the warren.
Right.
Once you finish with your meal, you make your way to the edge of Bale Malshar, right on the like northeast edge in one of the older, less used sections of the district. There's some old tree homes, old warrens. It's hard to find initially. It's so overgrown. It definitely looks like someone has been here recently. You see just a little round entrance that, you know, most people might just miss, but Seiki and Zika, you're able to find it pretty easily. Seiki turns over things to the more experienced adventurer. Well, this is the place. What do you think we should do?
We could look for tracks.
It's wise.
You're always more of a woods folk than me.
All right, I will search for little Esog paw prints.
You can give me a survival.
That is, I rolled badly. 9.
It's hard to make them out. Drin was another small-sized Esog, so definitely somebody's been through here. You can tell that this area's been trod recently, okay. But by, you know, probably not a very big being. So even with a, you know, not so great roll, you're probably pretty sure he was here.
I do see tracks that could possibly be his. So there's a chance at least that he was here.
Ah, well, then perhaps we should look around. Anyone want some light, or can you all see?
Kiernan, can you?
You know, I don't think I can.
Esog do have dark vision.
Esog, yeah, I know Esog have dark. Yeah, so Kiernan will probably need some kind of light.
Yes.
All right, so I will cast a light spell on a stick that's lying around.
Thank you.
There you go. Let's proceed.
Shall we look around first out here, or head in?
Well, not much around here. I suppose we might as well head in.
All right.
Should we be quiet about it?
Yeah, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Please try to.
At least try to. Exactly.
Before I step in it, there have not been any big rumors that would have drawn the attention of the council about what is going on here, is there?
I can't imagine anyone in the council cares about sinkholes in Bale Malshar.
Very well, then.
Unless you feel you need to run and, you know, get permission.
No, I just want to make sure what I'm risking before I step into it.
I don't want to make any more rash decisions without your boss's approval.
Exactly.
Like a thief in the night, or whatever he said.
Well,
yeah, something to that effect.
How can we be thieves in the night? It's the middle of the day.
And we're stealing nothing.
Exactly.
Let's go.
You'll go down into the warren. It's a little bit of a tight fit for the medium-sized people, but once you get down inside, it widens out fairly good size. You don't really notice much of anything. I mean, you can definitely see places where there's carved out sections of the warren, like where people would have slept. There's a couple of pieces of furniture and some kind of old detritus of people being here a long time ago. The Warren goes down a good ways.
Just a thought, I'm kind of thinking of more things about Isog just off the cuff here, but it would probably be like a status symbol to have like decent carpeting. If they were poor, they would probably just be dirt floors, straw mats, that kind of thing. I would say maybe every Isog would at least have a good hardwood table for eating around, but the quality of the furniture, the quality of carpeting, at least in an underground housing. Tree housings would probably be pretty similar, that you could tell their status by the presence or quality of furniture and the presence mm-hmm. and quality of carpeting.
Okay, that makes sense. So you can definitely tell right offhand that there's not a lot of symbols of any kind of status at this point. If there were, they've been abandoned or taken. But there's evidence of like maybe some kind of rudimentary rushes on the dirt floor. But you search a little, you can find remnants of a table. Looks like, you know, it is either broken up or just fell apart with time and disuse.
Right. Or people came and took the good stuff already or whatever.
Yes.
It's possible.
And as you make your way through the Warren, if everyone can just give me a perception roll as you travel down.
13.
15.
13.
All right. So as you push through the Warren, it widens out a little bit more, and it looks like it might go off in a couple of different directions. You're at kind of the center point of a fork in the corridors. One goes off to the left, one goes off to the right. And as you hit the center, all of a sudden you feel the ground go out from underneath you, and you are falling. Oh. You are all falling. You're not falling directly vertically. You're falling kind of diagonally and going down a landslide almost. Falls out from under you. The dirt and the angle you're at are kind of covering the fall. So you do eventually hit pay dirt, as it were. And you will all take 3 points of bludgeoning damage.
All right.
Shite!
But you surmise you've down about a good 60 feet or so. Oh, goodness. That really came up on us.
Yes.
If I know Dredd at all, he likely had the same fate.
Yes, well, it's a good thing that this was a relatively gentle fall.
Be a bit bruised, but not too worse for the wear.
Yes, no, I'm all right. And that this is the point where you look at Sagi and you realize she is very wispy. Like, she is not the hardiest person you've ever seen, considering the horrible wound she took recently. Right. If you could quantify the amount of physical damage someone could take, I would say it wouldn't be a lot.
Do you need some healing?
Oh, I'm okay, I think. She probably could use some.
All right. Up to 11 points of...
Okay, well, that's more than she needs, but she's fine again.
Be careful on that leg as well.
Yes, I think it's probably that what it was. It was their own leg giving me trouble. Thank you so much, Razor. It was much appreciated.
Oh, no problem.
So as you guys look around, you notice that you are definitely in a tunnel. This tunnel extends out in front of you and behind you, as far as you can see, to the edge of your vision. It is a rough-hewn tunnel, but it is really about only maybe 6 feet in diameter, which I think is okay for pretty much all of you. I mean, it's definitely okay for Sagi and Zika.
Probably Razor too.
Yeah.
I'm 5'10", so I'm 5'10".
All right. Okay, so you're practically hitting the ceiling, but you're all right. So it's a bit of a squeeze for you, but not too bad.
Especially with those platform boots.
Exactly.
Or at least your lips off. It could be a little bit troublesome.
They're stylish, but...
Yeah.
They work well in a 6-foot tunnel.
Well, any reason to head back or best foot forward?
Oh, we might as well. I mean, we're here. We should probably pick a direction and go in it, I suppose. Those of you who have experience being underground can give me a wisdom roll. See if you can get your bearings as to what the direction is.
Ooh, wisdom. That is 21.
Okay.
And I got 17.
So the two of you, Zika and Razor, you can definitely get a good sense of where you are. You kind of look up and see where, you know, what little sunlight is coming through that hole. It appears that this tunnel goes to the northwest and the northeast. And based on that, where you are and where Hogsbane Alley is, this tunnel could very well meet up to the cave-in.
Hmm. If we go in which direction? The north, east?
If you go to the northeast.
Okay.
If I'm not much mistaken, that way is towards Hogsbane Alley.
Yeah, and with a 21, you're pretty sure. You could check it out. It would take you a few minutes, but...
Well, then it is very good that we came under here. Let's take a look.
Right.
So you're heading back northeast just to check?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so you do. Yeah, you get about a few hundred feet down the tunnel, and it just stops. And you all can give me perception rolls.
That is 23.
I got a 17.
I found a shiny rock.
Okay, sorry. Well, Zico, what did you get again?
23.
23, okay, yep. Very perceptive. If you were like 2 points more perceptive, you might have noticed that landslide. that was one I was kind of chalked against you. You can definitely see the points where somebody had put a lot of pressure on the roof of this tunnel and just caved it all in.
Does this look potentially like the other side of what we kind of determined was an intentional cave-in?
Looks like it to me, I suppose.
Well, then I suppose we know what's on the other side of it.
I suppose we do.
Yes, I'd like not to go back there anytime soon.
See no reason to.
All right.
Back the way we came, then.
So you go back the way you came. And as you do, the tunnel goes for a while. So you're pretty sure you are underneath where this tunnel would go off underneath, I believe, the Crampton area. And then at that point, you notice that the tunnel forks off to the north. And by your bearings, you're pretty sure this is heading towards the Temple District and off eventually to the river. And then if it started to go down, it might be able to even go under the river. It's a pretty deep chasm, but at the very least, this definitely seems to be heading towards the Temple District. And as you hit this point, everyone can give me perception rolls.
This time, I found the shiny rock.
I got about the same. I got 18 this time.
Okay. I got an 11.
So, Kiernan and Sagi, you hear the sound of chittering and relatively small campering things coming your way. And you will be able to get to act in the first round as you are attacked by a bunch of giant rats. There are 5 rats. 4 of them seem to be just regular rats. One of them looks really gross.
Oh, that's no good. Rats, I say loudly.
Everyone can give me initiative rolls.
It'll be 11 for me.
I was distracted by a shiny rock. I got a 9.
A shiny rock, you say? I got a 7.
Already?
Maybe that's our party name, the Shiny Rocks.
So 4 rats skitter out, and they all run at each of you. Razor and Zika, you are both hit, and you're both bitten, actually. Razor, you will be bit for 6, and Zika for 5. And then we go to Kiernan.
All right, I'm going to pull out my bow, take a step back, and try to shoot at the rat attacking me.
Okay.
I got a 22 to hit.
Okay, you hit it.
All right, my damage is 8.
Okay, you spin around as a rat attempts to bite you, and you just skewer it. So we are down a rat. And then we go to Daggy. She spins around, she pulls up her little hand, and a stream of white frost shoots out of her hand and just freeze dries another one of these rats. The gross-looking rat is coming from behind, so he hasn't reached you yet. So we will get back up to the top here, and that will be Zika.
All right. So I will use a bonus action to activate my Shillelagh and lay into the rat that just attacked me.
Okay.
Does 16 hit?
16 for sure hits.
And that will do 6 points of damage.
Alrighty, that will take out another one.
And I will bring my mother's club crashing down into its skull and squish it into the floor.
Okay, so that's 3 out of 4 rats that have been dealt with already. Making quick work of these. So the last remaining smaller rat will attempt to bite Zika again. And it rears back and then jumps out at you. And oh, that's a 20. So I assume that hits you.
Yeah, a little bit.
And 3 points of piercing damage.
Ouch.
And then Big Mama Rat is going to come for that big dwarf. That seems really scary to the really gross-looking rat. And the gross-looking rat will, like the others, run at you and jump up and bite at you for a 17.
That'll hit.
And you will take 3 points of piercing damage.
All right.
And I will need you to make a constitution savings throw.
Oh, these always go well. 16.
Okay. All right. And Kiernan.
I will shoot at Gross Rat.
Okay.
16 hit.
16 hits.
I pierce the disgusting creepy rat with an arrow for 7 points of damage.
Alrighty. And once again, another skewered rat. This thing, as you skewer it, like kind of against the wall, the blood, it just kind of green, pussy, gross fluid comes out of it. It is definitely a diseased rat. One little rat remains, and finally, Razor gets to go.
All right. 16 hit it?
16 hits it for sure.
I'll bring my mace down on its skull for 7 points of damage.
All right. Once again, yeah, Razor finally, after this rat kind of jumped on him, and Graham's like, son of a bitch, just whacks it. There's a bunch of squish rats around you, and Razor, you feel okay about that bite you took.
All right.
As the dusk settles on this little skirmish, Sagi, just kind of standing back, walks over to the freezed rat, kicks it. Yep, icicle. That's what you do.
That's a good one.
That was thrilling. I haven't done that before.
Everyone okay?
I'm good.
Give me just a moment.
Of course.
I will cast Cure Wounds on myself.
Actually, I'll do the same.
And Sagi was not hit by a rat, so she doesn't instantly need healing.
Kiernan, you okay?
I'm all right. Thank you, though.
No problem.
So, which way do we go? There's a tunnel going off to the northwest, and there's a tunnel here going to the north.
Did those rats come from any particular direction?
They seem to come from the north.
North.
We should go that way.
I think we should go north as well.
And Razor, you can give me one of those stone cutting rolls.
All right, it's 11.
Okay. So. I mean, yeah, obviously this is really, really poor work, but you can tell just from how it's dug that this seems to be dug a little bit more recently than the main tunnel.
Well, this is more recent construction. We should definitely go this way.
All right.
All right. So you guys, you head down the tunnel being very cautious. You don't notice any other rats or little beasties on your way, but it does get very rough as you go. It's almost like this tunnel was dug very hastily, almost. Like it kind of slides down in parts. And Kiernan, you especially notice there's spots where it gets a little bit smaller and then it widens out, almost like this was dug at a weird kind of pace. It doesn't go completely straight either. It kind of weaves a little back and forth.
Left big rocks in the way instead of excavating them.
Yes, it's a kind of a mess. It's almost like it was dug in haste. And you go probably about another quarter mile. The direction you're going, Razor, based on your bearings down here, it's almost like it's making a beeline to the forge.
Like, all right.
If you follow this, it basically goes from underneath one of the larger cathedrals.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was to cut through Temple District, it would go under the forge and then go onto Breadbasket and then to the river. So, you get probably within about 500 feet of where you think the forge should be, and you definitely hear sounds. You hear the sounds of something hitting earth. Clang, shh, clang, shh, clang, shh, at this like frenzied pace. And if people can give me perception rolls to see if they can catch any more details from this.
16.
17.
6.
Okay. All right. So Razor and Zika, it definitely sounds like people digging with some kind of tool, a shovel, a pick or something. No less than like 3, no more than maybe 5. It's hard to tell because they're moving so fast. or it could just be one guy moving at super speed, but at the frenzied pace they're going, and you sit and listen to it for a while, they don't take breaks. You sit there and listen to it for a good amount of, like at that pace, people would have to stop every once in a while and just kind of wipe the sweat from their eyes or something, but it just keeps going, you know, and the closer you get, the more desperate it sounds. But you're about maybe 300 to 400 feet away from where you're hearing the sound come from, just in a straight line, and you see no light coming from the other side of that. Like, whoever's digging down there is digging in total dark with picks or something.
And do we hear any breathing?
Hard to say. You'd have to get closer, because the sound of the picks is loud.
All right.
Well, I think we need to investigate, because it appears they're headed directly for the forge.
Shall we go quietly, then?
Yes.
About our light? Well, I don't want to,
She looks over at Kiernan. Well, we just have to be careful, then.
It's fine. I can go last and follow behind you.
How did you do light? Did you cast it on something you were holding?
I cast it on a stick, and I'll give that to Kiernan.
So, Kiernan, he hands you this glowing stick, and you can, if you want, you could kind of focus it. You know, almost like a hooded lantern, you'll take a cloth or something, put it around there, and it'll kind of light the ground in front of you.
Right, I'll just sort of use one of my leathers to keep it dim.
So everyone can give me stealth rolls as you move closer to the sound.
I got a 19.
19?
I got less than a 19.
Okay, so how much less than a 19?
Like 5.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is definitely less than 19.
I got higher than 5. I got a 9.
Okay. Alrighty. So as you guys approach, you're getting closer and closer, and you get to about the edge of your dark vision, and the sound gets louder. It's about that point. If you want to hear if they're breathing or not, you can give me another perception roll.
13.
At this distance, you don't hear breathing, and it definitely you're close enough to where if someone was digging at this pace, breathed, you would hear it. You know, you'd hear it a lot. You hear just this sound. And as you get closer, at just the edge of your dark vision, as you step forward, you see 3 figures between like 4 and 4.5 feet tall. And they are just wailing away at this dirt. Just both hands with these picks, with these big, nasty looking picks, just wailing away at it. And you're hit by this stink, rotting stink smell. And as you reach them, at the point where they're kind of fully in your range, and Kiernan, your light hits them, you look up and one of them stops and then slowly turns around. And then each of them, in turn, also turn, and their picks are lowered at their sides. And these definitely look like war picks that they're using to dig this. And there are 3 look to be dwarven figures, but they are not alive. The first thing you notice is their armor is in tatters. Their flesh is falling off of their faces, and they are all in this black, dark armor. Razor, you will notice this. Their skin is very gray, but it's grayer than even a regular dead person.
All right.
And they're all bald, and their eyes are completely white.
Okay.
You are in the presence of 3 undead Duergar. And they raise their picks. And we'll see you next time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Cliffhanger. Yeah.
And the correct answer to that is, that's not the right tool to be using to be excavating.
Yeah, I know. War picks. I mean, you know, you can dig with a war pick, but, you know, it's not a precision tool.
Itching for a good story? Laughter among friends, maybe a mystery? Fire-Breathing Kittens is a standalone Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Each episode is a separate 3-hour-long story, like a movie for your ears. You can listen to these adventures in any order. Join us on an actual play D&D quest as we solve mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. Fire-Breathing Kittens Podcast. Fantasy, action, mystery, and friendship.